We have a very, very special show today, and we have a very, very special guest today. We have Christopher Speed with us, who is a nutritionist. Welcome, and thank you for your patience, Mr. Speed.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, let me just get your theory on nutrition and diet, like, really early. Can you just kind of give us a capsule, a thumbnail perspective?
It's never an easy thing to change what you eat, but there are no such thing as fad diets, and there are most certainly no such thing as easy cures to lose weight.
Right.
Which is a really, really important thing, because weight is what is at the root of what is making us pretty unhealthy as a society.
Absolutely. And you're going to tell us about how all the things that we think are bad for us are not actually bad for us. Like, we can be naughty and not nice during the holidays.
yeah, absolutely. Listen, let's face it. I'm sure you and any of your listeners, none of them would disagree with me that food provides great joy. And we should never walk away from the joy that food provides us. But
absolutely.
The unfortunate thing is too much of a good thing can sometimes be a bad thing.
Yeah.
And of course, food is that. And it's not a matter of putting down that chocolate bar, but having it in moderation and living a lifestyle where you're active and you're able to manage your weight and you're able to consume a diet that provides you with the essential nutrients that are going to really support your optimal health and wellness.
Yes. Yes, yes. Now, let me just ask you about your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a dietitian and nutritional scientist, and my strange accent's because I'm from Australia.
Yeah, I love that accent, by the way.
I love yours as well. And listen, I've been living in this country for about 14 years now, and this is my new home. I have a family and with kids and a beautiful wife.
Okay.
So I've been here sort of trying to teach people about really what are the fundamentals of nutrition that's going to not just hopefully push away disease and chronic disease, but more importantly, allow people to live a joyful life of wellness. And that's one of the greatest things about nutrition is if you eat well, i.e. you manage your calorie intake, you exercise regularly, you eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, you know, what our mama and papa told us growing up.
Yeah.
The truth, if we can do this, we can live a long life of joy and wellness, and that's the really key important thing about food and nutrition choices.
I got to tell you, food makes us happy. Like you said, almost a little too happy. Now, I understand that in your perspective, some of the essential foods that some of the myths that we've been, raised with need to be debunked here during the holidays, like deviled eggs, cheese plates, eggnog, holiday ham. Those kinds of things are not really as bad for us as we think.
Again, it's consume these things in moderation. If you're going to have a big dinner one night, then maybe eat a little bit less the next day. But one thing I'd really want to focus on, which is sort of my pet peeve at the moment, is the dairy category. So eggnog, cheese. People are actually departing from the dairy category to a very large degree. And they're doing two things that are bad. One is they're leaving dairy. Dairy provides an important calcium, essential nutrition. It's a really, really important thing for people to remember. But then what they're doing is they're actually then replacing that removal of dairy with a activity that I really would urge people not to do, and that is to take a calcium supplement. And calcium supplements alone are probably more hazardous to your health than actually including dairy in the first place. Unless the calcium contains another very important nutrient called MenaQ7K2, this very important vitamin, which doesn't exist in westernized societies, unfortunately, but does exist in other diets around the world, has been shown to actually make sure that the calcium is not being adversely pushed into your arterial walls of your cardiovascular system, where it could be potentially hazardous, but puts the calcium where it needs to be in the bone. So what I say to people is, listen, if you're removing dairy product, whether it's through the celebratory periods of this time of the year or generally, take a calcium supplement, that's great, but make sure it contains MenaQ7K2, and thankfully, very progressive supplement companies now are including this ingredient in their calcium supplements. And I would urge any of your listeners to really think about including their MenaQ7K2 in any of their calcium. So
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but how do you spell MenaQ?
MenaQ, the letter Q, 7, Okay. And then the number seven, K2. And it's a type of vitamin K2 that's the most biologically active form, and the one that allows you to actually ensure the calcium you're getting from your dairy or the calcium supplement is being used to support optimal health and wellness. So that's my pet peeve about the removal of dairy. The other things are red meat. You know, listen, unless you do it for religious or fundamental reasons of some other nature, that's fine. But there is no reason why red meat doesn't earn its right to sit on your lunch and dinner table. You know, it's, again, moderation. So if you're eating red meat, if two-thirds of your plate is the red meat and a third of it is the plant-based products, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, cereals, and these kind of things, then obviously that's not a good thing. If it's the other way around, where the majority of what you're eating are from plants, and I do believe very firmly that if we ate more plant-based foods, we'd be doing a lot better, then there is a very important role. And the last one are eggs. Eggs have been demonized for years. And eggs are really important. They provide a very high level of protein. The yolks provide essential fat-soluble vitamins. They include a great deal of really important nutrients. So including dairy, red meat, and eggs can be a way of actually enhancing your health and nutrition if you do it in moderation. And moderation is always going to be the key.
Sure. What about the issues of gluten? I hear, you know, you see on packages in the store, gluten-free. Is that really a good thing?
Well, gluten-free is an enormous trend in the food landscape and the food nutrition landscape. And my rule of thumb is unless you've been really diagnosed with celiac disease, which is the extreme allergen effect, where you can be, you know, your intestines are really affected quite adversely due to gluten, which is a protein that exists in most grasses, such as wheat and so on. The inclusion of these foods is fine. There are a lot of people that feel as though when they remove gluten from their diet, they feel better. But when you look at their diet in more close examination, what they've predominantly removed are the other things that come with gluten. So there's less baked goods with sugars and fats. And there are a whole bunch of other nutrients that tend to accompany the gluten. So I would say the general thumb is that most people, gluten is fine. But again, it's moderation. If all you're eating is flour and grain-based products, all you're doing, then obviously you're not consuming moderation, and you should be consuming more fruits and vegetables to obtain a greater balance of nutrients.
Like, I just want to get back to the egg situation for one second. What about all the mucus that dairy and eggs cause? I mean,
well, when it comes to dairy, what it tends to be more likely, unless you obviously have an allergy to dairy, which many people don't have, I mean, that's not a very common allergy, it's more to do with the fact that what dairy does is it lines the current mucus that you have in your body, and you have this perception then that dairy is making you have more mucus, when in actual fact it's not. If you're consuming ample amounts of other foods and other types of products, you're probably not going to have that. Eggs don't tend to have that effect on increasing mucus, and like one of the adverse effects that people suggest eggs have an impact on is cholesterol in the blood. And really, there's never been a link between increased egg consumption and the cholesterol in your blood, but there certainly would be if you're having that omelet in the morning with overabundance of animal-based products and saturated fats from other types of sources. So again, it's what you're having with the eggs to promote greater balance.
Like if you have fruit with the eggs.
So it's a matter of having, you know, better things to match the eggs to actually ensure that your cholesterol levels would be optimal ongoing. And one of the greatest things that we're learning about nutrition, what's really exciting is another thing is this issue of the fact that we're not consuming enough of a very important fat, which can exist in eggs, especially when that chicken has been fed this type of fat, and it's called omega-3s.
Yes.
Now, omega-3s are the most researched nutrient in the history of human and nutritional research. And what we're showing that is it's not just the fact that we're consuming not enough omega-3s, but we're consuming too much of a fat that exists in westernized diets, and that's omega-6. And one of the really important outcomes of some great research recently is we are now realizing that at the root of what makes us unwell, not just from a chronic disease standpoint, you know, in other words, heart disease, diabetes, these kind of things, but now increasingly brain chemistry, therefore depression, mental wellness, is the fact that most Americans are consuming an imbalance of omega-3, not enough, too much omega-6. And as a result of this imbalance, we are becoming increasingly a more unwell nation from a public health standpoint.
Okay, let me just understand what you said. So, okay, let me bring my listeners, if they care to, you know, chime in on this, 410-319-8888. That's 410-319-8888. We are talking to Christopher Speed, who is a nutritional scientist and dietitian. So, okay, so now, Mr. Speed, let me just ask you this. With the omega-6, is that omega-3 doubled?
Well, that's a good guess. It's from the same family. They're all called polyunsaturated fats.
Okay.
And the problem is, when you look at the food system in the last, especially in the last 30 to 50 years, is in the 60s and 70s we became probably naively too overly concerned with animal-based fats. Butter, lard, these things were removed from our diets because people assumed that the inclusion in our diet of these saturated fats, these animal-based fats, was going to increase our risk of heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be, I would need to say to you that actually that was really never really shown. So what actually has been the case is, the food system has started to remove the saturated fats from the foods that are being produced, and polyunsaturated fats, especially in the omega-6 form, have been added. And the one ingredient that has increased our omega-6 content of our diet more than any other ingredient is soybean oil.
Oh.
And so when you think about it, soybean oil is in everything. Anything that's processed is going to have soybean or other commoditized type fats that have incredibly high levels of 6 and are increasing our omega-6 intake by a very large degree. And it's what is predominantly giving us this issue of imbalance, especially when we're also not consuming enough seafood, which is going to give you that omega-3 intake.
Oh, no, I love some seafood.
So you're saying that we're eating too much soy and not enough other animal fats? Is that,
well, right? Yeah, and more importantly, not enough seafood-based fats such as the omega-3s. So I'm not urging everyone to become massive carnivores because, again, it's about moderation.
Yeah.
But if we could reduce our 6 intake and we reduce our omega-3 intake, we would have a background diet that would be far less over-inflammatory. So in every cell, in every tissue and organ in our body, they have receptors for omega-3 and 6. So when you eat too much 6 and too little 3, every single cell in your body becomes over-inflamed. And as experts in this field are now starting to suggest, inflammation is at the root of what makes us unwell.
Absolutely.
From a diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and even degenerative disease standpoint.
Right, right.
So there's a lot of evidence to suggest this. In fact, in our military, the military are fed even higher amounts of 6.
Sure.
So with the harrows of war that these individuals are going through, they're coming back with very high levels of suicide and depression rates. And there are some experts at the National Institutes of Health,
right.
In fact, one researcher called Joe Hiblin, that's actually linking omega-6 intake increasingly with this issue of over-inflammation and increased mental disease.
Okay, can I just ask you to put a pin in that? Because we have
a
caller on the line. I just want to get to her question because she's been patient. Cynthia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you? Thank you for calling. Welcome to Urban Health Beat.
Yes, I have a question. Your speaker mentioned gluten-free and was discussing wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have 3 coworkers who developed diverticulitis and then had to have operations.
Mm-hmm.
And even myself, my digestive system is very good, but I noticed that certain wheat products are different now, and you develop, like, I'm talking about pastas, and you develop, like, a sensitivity where, you know, they upset your digestive system.
Yeah.
And I read an article about wheat and how wheat has been modified, so it's a GMO product, and it's been modified to make it stronger to resist weather, animal conditions, and things like that. So in the modification of the leaf itself, and I don't know what the parts are called, they were showing how it's more bushier, so it's harder to digest, is basically what the article was saying, and processed by your body.
I'm sorry that you actually have that adverse effect in it, and there are some definitely some individual differences in how gluten and especially wheat-based products can. And as a society, let's face it, we eat a lot of wheat-based foods. You know, there's a lot of bread in everything we eat, and we eat a lot of pasta and these kind of things. So again, there's a suggestion that we're not consuming wheat in balance with the other important plant-based ingredients in our diet. And so there, your case study really gives us a really important example of that. And perhaps it is you and some of your colleagues that have this similar adverse effect. Obviously, not knowing your medical history, not knowing the totality of your nutrition, I'm not sure whether it may be coming from other sources. But you should really take that seriously, and you should really look at wheat in your diet and remove it and see whether, indeed, those symptoms do go away and you may feel a lot better. Mm-hmm. You know, we know now that certain children with autism and ADHD, there may be a link with wheat. But again, the evidence is so small, but it is increasing. So I can't, as a clinician, really say anything definitive until we really have the evidence to suggest that.
Right.
Well, she brings up another good point about the genetically modified foods that we're eating now.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that impact our health?
Yeah, listen, it is a big issue of concern. Genetically modified foods are produced to make more money. It means that they produce more volume of a particular food at a lower cost in an increased time frame, a shortened time frame. So there you sort of have to scratch your head and say, well, to what extent are they producing this food to be something to nourish us or something to make these big industries more money? And I think it's important to be really skeptical.
Yeah.
And if you don't know whether something is non-GMO in the foods that you consume, don't eat it. And push back and seek out non-GMO foods. And if the more of us that do that, the less likely this inclusion of GMO ingredients in our food supply will continue. In fact, in Europe, you have to have non-GMO mentioned on the products you purchase.
Yeah,
more and more
products here are saying non-GMO, but not all of them, not nearly enough, I don't think. Thank you so much for that call, Cynthia.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and that's a great question.
Absolutely. Let me just get back to the wheat for 1 second. Tell me about wheat berries, because just the other day I cooked some wheat berries, thinking that obviously, because we're trying to cut down on rice, based upon our last conversation, Dr. Jennings, with the dietitian. I haven't had any rice since then. But but wheat berries, are they good for you, or?
Well, they're the slightly immature, pre-sprouted form of wheat, and that's why you see that berry type appearance to the actual wheat. And as a result, certain individuals feel though they have greater nutritional content because they haven't burst and released a lot of the nutrients. But in general, of course, it's very similar to most wheat. It's going to be a plant-based product, therefore it's going to have fiber and really important nutrients that certainly grasses and other whole grains will really provide. And it's a really good whole grain form because many wheat products that we consume aren't including the whole grain. And the whole grain includes important fat-soluble vitamins like vitamin E.
Yes.
And really important. So I would say that was a really good thing that you did. It would probably, in fact, I certainly speak to people that say when they consume flour and more processed wheat, they have adverse effects. But when it's in the more of a wheat berry form, they don't have that.
They don't have that. Mr. Speak, can you tell us where to get in touch with you if our audience wants to interact with you or wants to give you a call?
Yeah, sure. I have a website called foodandnutritionstrategies.com. So any questions and emails, feel free to definitely contact me through that, and I'll attempt to assist you.
All right, and at Balanced Omegas on Twitter, right?
That's correct.
Oh, good. I'm going to go and look up that omega-6 thing so I can understand it. I got to tell you, Mr. Speed, we have so much more. I think we've just scratched the tip of the iceberg with you. So we're going to have you back after the first of the year. Would you like to join us?
There'll be an honor and a privilege.
Okay, bless your heart for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
And have a good holiday.
Have a good holiday. And you've made ours better because now we can eat some of those naughty foods.
That's right.
The eggs and butter and the... Okay, you're listening to Urban Health Beat. I'm Marilyn Harris Davis. And we will be right back on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.